The lights are on red. We're away.
Welcome to MotoGPOD, the weekly podcast all about motorcycle road racing. I'm your guest host, Jim Race, and I'm covering for Bob Hayes, who is still away. I believe he'll be back today sometime. This is episode number 55 for April 28th, 2006. We'll start off today talking about World Superbike from last weekend. That was a great series of races. We'll touch on the AMA races series that was held at Barber this last weekend. Might even talk a little bit about World Endurance. It was a busy weekend last weekend. And we will finish up with a preview of the upcoming MotoGP race from Istanbul, Turkey. And if I still have time and feel like it, I might even talk about pronunciation for a bit. Hold on, hold tight. So anybody that got a chance to watch World Superbike this weekend, I can't think that you might have not enjoyed it. It was a hoot. A few years back, World Superbike got the horrible nickname of the Ducati Cup, and truth be told, probably wasn't the most exciting series to watch, but like me, you probably will watch just about anything road racing related, but this weekend could probably aptly be named, well, let me preface this, hold on for a moment. If you haven't yet seen the races, you might want to skip ahead. I'm going to give the outcome of both the World Superbike and the AMA races. So fair warning, if you want to skip ahead to the GP preview. On with the show. World Superbike this last weekend. I would call it the Troy Cup, because that's simply what it was. While there was some great racing going on behind the leaders, both Troys certainly put on a heck of a show, and I wouldn't say that both races were anything close to a carbon copy of each other, but in the end, the outcomes were the same. World Superbike Race 1 pretty much started off with Corser getting out in the lead and holding it for quite some time, and basically Bayless chasing him, and he finally got past him on lap 19 of 23 going in turn one, and then just inched away. It looked like it was a tire competition in the end, and I believe he finished with about a 4 second lead. I would have to go back and check, but I had a blast watching it, and if you haven't had seen it yet, please do, and watch both of them, because they're like two, like a copy of a painting, but really well done. Just a hoot. I was on the edge of my seat all the time. Coming in third in that race was Lorenzo Lanzi. So it was, let me repeat, Bayless first, Corser second, Lanzi third, Abe in fourth, Hagen fifth, and Kageyama with a brilliant ride coming in sixth. Who else was back there? Barros was back there. Chaus was making a pretty good jump towards the front. Toseland kind of crept around the whole weekend and didn't show a whole lot, but he did finish both races. That race one left Ducati Suzuki as the top two manufacturers, and it stayed that way through the second race. Race two, a little bit more of the same, but a different style. Corser actually got off to a real good start and made Bayless chase him and chase him hard. They had a little bit different tires. Corser was running a soft rear, Bayless was running a hard rear, and it looks like that worked out in the end. Lap 12, Bayless was getting closer, closer, closer. He actually set the fast time of the second race for 285.9 kilometers per hour, which is smoking. And of the 23-lap race, it was lap 22 when Bayless came by. In same place, turn one, and just started walking away from there. You could really see both of those guys, but particularly Corser near the end, sliding the back end like nobody's business coming out of, I believe it was turn five or turn four. Again, though, just a textbook look of watching Corser stalk him, pass him, and Bayless stalking him, passing him, and just walking away with a win. Some really smart, smart racing. The finish for that race was Bayless, Courser, Lanzi, Abe, Haga, and Fonzi Nieto. So that was a lot of fun. I hope you got a chance to watch it, and definitely World Superbike is back in my eyes again. Certainly was after last year, and it's still there now. Moving on, we're going to talk about now the AMA races at Barber Motorsports Park out in Alabama, one of the most beautiful facilities in the United States, an Alan Wilson designed track. If you ever have a chance to go to this track, you really should. It's got the most amazing, amazing motorcycle museum. Some people say that it's actually one of the best in the world. There are some amazing race bikes out there, some bikes that you've never seen before. Some Britons, plenty of GP bikes, just fantastic. And I haven't been there yet. I've seen so many pictures from it. It's very cool. Anyway, on track for this weekend, we had a doubleheader AMA Superbike race. We had Formula Extreme, Superstock, and Supersport. I'm probably going to concentrate just on Superbike. We might touch a little bit on the other races. Matt Mladen, as most of you well know, has been dominating AMA Superbike for the last 6 or 7 years, and has amassed a great 6 titles in that time. And he looked poised at the beginning of this year to do the exact same thing, but this weekend his teammate Ben Spies managed to grab pole for the AMA Superbike races. So go Ben, give us a little hope for some variation out here. Starting off on race one, which was on Saturday, Spies, Mladen, Tommy Hayden on the Kawasaki, and Roger Lee Hayden on the other Kawasaki covered the front row. It was very nice to see the Kawasakis on the front row. This is their first year back in Superbike in some time, and we were just stoked to see a couple of green bikes up there. Way back, or not way back, but I believe third row were the Ducatis, both Hodgson and Bostrom, and they were looking a little weary this weekend. So both races were fantastic. Race one started off with Spies in the lead, and he held that for some time. Mladen got past him for a little bit, and in the end Spies pulled it off and finished that race with a relatively comfortable lead. Mladen made a challenge to him near the end, only to get either spooked or trying to get a little bit of extra around a back marker, ran off the course through some grass nearly into a drainage, I should say ditch, but it was a hole. He missed it by about a foot, and had he hit that, it was in a gully. I could see him pretty much probably creating quite a yard sale on the track, but he did miss it. He came back on course and almost took out the back marker that he was originally trying to pass. But that was a great race, and it was great to see Spies take what he considered his first true win. He did win a Superbike race last year in Fontana, but Mladen had gone out in that race, and so this was the first time he got to go head-to-head and actually beat the guy. So good for you, Ben. The next race was on Sunday, and lap one ended with Mladen in the lead. Good old Tommy Hayden in second on the new to him and new to Superbike Kawasaki. Spies in third, Duhamel in fourth, Yates in fifth, and Jake Zemke on the other Honda in sixth place. Roger Hayden, Neil Hodgson, and Ben Bostrom followed up after that first lap. And one interesting thing to watch during that entire race, at least for Tommy Hayden, who was doing much better than he'd done on Saturday, you could actually see the Kawasakis suffering through what Mr. Rossi lately has been calling vibration, but finally admitted to chatter. But it was nice to see them push through that. Later in the race, Roger Hayden did have a bit of trouble, and we'll talk about that shortly. After a bit, Spies got in front. Duhamel also got in front. And so it was Spies, Duhamel, and Mladen for quite some time. Mladen was actually at a certain point, I believe it was lap 5, went down in turn 5. He tucked the front, and that's a corner that's a little bit tricky. It's slightly off camera on the entrance, and he just lost the front. When he got back on the bike, he returned in 29th after a corner worker helped him get it started. Lap 6, Zemke went down, and they threw a red flag, the first red flag of the race, I might add. By lap 8, it was Spies, Tommy Hayden, and Duhamel all about 1 second with a nice blanket over him. Lap 12, the front three were spread out by about 5 seconds. By lap traffic, they were hitting it pretty hard and heavy. And they managed to worm their way through there. It was some great riding. Lap 20, Roger Hayden, as he was coming up on a back marker on turn 2, got together with James Kirker and had a big crash. It brought out a red flag, and from what I understand today, Roger Hayden came out to California, broke his tibia and his fibula. Not a good thing to break, but he went out to the infamous Dr. Art Ting out here in California and had it operated on, and he says that he might be ready for this weekend's upcoming race. So, more power to him. That's a little bit short. He'd been reported by the AML themselves not to be able to ride. Back to the race, there was a restart with 7 laps to go, and Mladen got a fantastic start at the point where that red flag came out. He was up to about 14th, and with this start, he managed to get up to about 9th, and the rest of the tale will be told. The last lap, it was Spies with Tommy Hayden right behind him and Aaron Yates behind him, as followed by Miguel Duhamel and Matt Mladen. And going into that same infamous turn 5, Aaron Yates pulled what, how do I say this? A questionable pass on Tommy Hayden going into 5 in the very apex. And much like Gibernau and Rossi at the beginning of the season in 2005, sort of punted him pretty well. And with the exception that neither of them actually went off course, they both went extremely wide on the turn. Duhamel zipped through a little bit dumbfounded, followed by Mladen. And the final flag came out on race 2 with the winner, Ben Spies, for his second win of the weekend. So he'd sweep the weekend, followed by Miguel Duhamel on the reinvigorated Honda, and Matt Mladen in third. So I believe Spies is up by a significant amount of the points right now, even though Mladen won Daytona. And it's nice to see these other bikes up towards the front. Kawasaki had pretty much a real sucky weekend, and it's too bad because they were showing significant promise on Sunday. Winning the Formula Extreme race was Jason DeSalvo. He did a whole lot of testing, and it's nice to see him pick that one up. Aaron Yates won the Super Stock race, and DeSalvo had been on pole in that. And taking the Super Sport race was Roger Hayden. So he, Kawasaki, let's say the Kawasaki Superbike team had a tough time. Roger Lee had a great ride in the Super Sport race. Moving on. World Endurance showed up at Le Mans this last weekend and for the 24-hour race. And one day I want to get to one of these. Of course, what race don't I want to get to? But I've never seen up close and personal an endurance race, and specifically a 24-hour endurance race. And more specifically, I've never seen a race where the riders actually dashed to their bikes across the track, hopped on, and took off. It's very old school, and it's something that if you folks were following the GP back in the days, these guys actually pushed their bikes off the line, started them there, and took off. So it's kind of the same thing, only in this case you've actually got mechanics holding their bikes up, pointed in semi in the right direction. They come up, they thumb the starter, and take off. Anyway, 24 hours at Le Mans, the top three teams were National Moto on the Honda, Suzuki Castrol on the Suzuki, of course, and Yamaha GMT 94 on the Yamaha. 24 hours, man, that's just amazing. You've got three guys on each team running away. I had some great riders out there, some names that you might recognize. Kitagawa for Castrol, you've got David Cheka and Gary McCoy for Yamaha. It's a really neat thing, and it's something that I've actually participated in 2 endurance races myself, but these were nowhere near 24 hours, 4-hour endurance races, and even at that point, you're still just one person on a team. But if you've ever gone out and done any track riding or racing, and you've done it for any extended period of time, you will find that at race pace, things wear you out so fast. So these guys are in amazing shape, and hats off to them, and someday I will be out there and be able to catch an endurance race. Are you ready for the GP preview? I know I am. Sit back, get comfy, and we'll get into that right now. Round 3 of the 2006 MotoGP Championships coming up. Yes, it's about time. I've been waiting for some real good stuff. Boy, that gap between Qatar in this race, or Qatar in this race, if you prefer, is coming up, and it is the Istanbul circuit and the Grand Prix of Turkey. What a circuit. Somewhat like Qatar. It's a very flowing track, primarily designed for F1 racing, which is fine. It's nothing like the China circuit, though. It's a neat circuit, 3.3 miles in length, I believe, some serious elevation changes, and one of the fastest corners in all of GP. Should be a fantastic weekend, and I'm really looking forward to it. Loris Caparossi will be riding the circuit for the first time this year. Last year he had that big ol' accident in Turn 1 at Phillip Island. You might remember that, a nice little cartwheel action. And unfortunately missed that race. So should be interesting to see Loris wrap his eyes and arms and legs and all around that circuit. I believe he has done a little bit of testing there. Coming up on the Repsol team, we will have both Nicky Hayden and Danny Pedrosa out there. Hayden has had some good results at that track. I believe he finished second last year. Oh, I hate it when I forget statistics. I need my statistics pop monkey here to help me out. Pedrosa should have a good run there. He's also done well there. Rossi winning in Qatar. Okay, now I'm self-conscious about it. You people, you need to stop talking about it. I'm going to stick with Qatar for now because it's what I know. Rossi's win in Qatar brought him back into the four, as we all know, or at least I certainly know. I did some discounting of his skills in a very silly fashion after the first race of the season in Jerez, and he was obviously proved me wrong. You know, it'll be interesting. After Suzuki having a horrible, horrible time in Qatar, with 13 engines going south, north, and just about every other direction, they're going to be really trying hard to get up there. The word on the street is that they have made some changes since then, and we can only hope that they bring something more to the course, because I have a real good feeling about both Hopkins and Vermeulen. They just need the opportunity to get out there and finish practices and finish races and show what they can do. I feel that Suzuki is probably a little bit underrated. I think that we might have the opportunity to see them pull something out of the hat, and I really, really like an opportunity to see that. I think this is a kind of a brilliant year in that there are a lot of unknowns that we've got going on. We've got, of course, the rookies, Stoner, Pedrosa, Vermeulen, guys like that. You've got the guys were running really fast at the end of last year, Hayden Melandri, et cetera, some of which are doing great and some of which aren't. We've got Stoner, who did an awesome job down in Qatar, starting from the pole, finishing fifth, and giving those guys everything he had until he essentially ran out of batteries. So I look for good things from him, and I'd really like to see some good stuff from Melandri, considering he had some excellent test times at post-Qatar race and ran really well. I believe the fastest bike there, and it had a good opportunity. I would especially like to see some more development out of the Team Roberts camp. I'd like to see Kenny Roberts Jr. step up even again to the plate and show us what that team can do. With the KR211V, they should have a good opportunity to prove what that team is capable of. I'd like to see both KR Senior and Chuck Axelin have some vindication for keeping that team together for so long. Some of the people that haven't done so well this year, well, we're looking at Depugne, perhaps. We're looking at the entire Dantin Ducati team. The mystery meat in the sandwich is probably Makoto Tomita, who has had a horrible season. Change of tires, sure, that might make a difference, but it shouldn't make that huge of a difference if the bike and the team are still together. Tomita hasn't done that great since last year, having that big old get off, and I'd like to see him put Estriol behind himself and step up to the plate and be the rider that he knows he really is. That's about all I've got. I wish I had the opportunity to talk to you about qualifying and everything, but unfortunately it just hasn't happened yet. We will have a wrap-up on Monday and be able to discuss the entire event. You can always talk about it, of course, at rideon2.com. You can send me email here at race@rideon2.com or Bob email when he returns at MotoGP. At what is his address? MotoGPOD? Yeah, MotoGPOD@MotoGPOD.com. I think that's it. If not, you know what his address is, or you can go to www.MotoGPOD.com and see them all there. I hope you enjoy the races this weekend. There's a whole lot going on. We got another AMA race going on. No World Superbike this weekend and no Endurance, but we've got an AMA race going on from Fontana. It'll be interesting to see what that brings around, and I really look forward to seeing this race. The coverage last year was excellent, and here's hoping that MotoGP.com has their together for the transmission, because the live transmission, because I know I will be trying to stay up and watch it, and I'm sure some of you out there are going to be doing so as well. I wanted the opportunity to talk to Liam. I got home late this evening, and he'd left me an email, and unfortunately I couldn't get in touch with him at time. He's out at Albacete right now. But Liam, if you're listening to this, both Bob and I, I'm sure, are going to want to hear about that experience. And I am going to leave you with all that. Once again, this is Jim Race hosting for Bob Hayes. This is MotoGPOD.com, the motorcycle podcast for motorcycle road racing, the fastest sport on the planet. Take care, and we'll talk to you guys on Monday night or Tuesday. Later.
Oh, geez, got the tape in there backwards here. One more time.
MotoGP is a trademark of Dorna Sports SL. The MotoGPOD podcast and MotoGPOD.com are not affiliated with Dorna Sports SL. All other trademarks are the property of their respective owners. MotoGPOD isn't affiliated with any of them.